Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and go into it in depth. Thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing this with a friend. My name is Stephen Schleicher, and over there is Matthew Peterson.
Hello!
We have been away for a couple of weeks because of a number of different reasons. One, we were at Nerdtacular 2014 in the beautiful Snowbird Resort in Salt Lake City, Utah.
And once we got back, I suffered from a terrible bout of altitude sickness.
Well, and
I literally went and I looked up everything that they said could go wrong with your body from altitude sickness. And it's literally as soon as I got back to Topeka, I had like every last one of them. Just
last week we were replaying the one of the panels that we were on at the comic collecting panel, which a lot of people really got a kick out of. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
I'm so glad that it wasn't dry. I was worried. I wasn't worried that we'd be boring because I don't think that we're boring as a speaking team, but I was afraid the material wouldn't have a whole lot of, you know,
it was really interesting because the UAT kids and Alpha Geek Radio's, I forget what his name, the assistant, not Todd, but his assistant who was recording everything. I went back to him afterwards as we were wrapping up the panel and trying to get everything situated. And I was just like, sorry, that was probably the most boring thing that you guys sat through. And everybody who was running the stuff behind the scenes were like, I know nothing about comic books, but I found this so fascinating and so interesting. Cool. And I was really interested in that in your talk. So they really got a kick out of it, even though it was nothing that they knew anything about or that they thought that they had any interest in. So if you are someone who listened to the replay that we put into the feed, and you went over and you saw the slideshow that went along with it, I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for the comments for the people that did send in stuff. Maybe we will do more of that in the future. And if you have a comic book convention that's near you, certainly let those creatives know. And we'd be happy to come out and give that presentation at some other places.
Hello.
Speaking of the feeds, there are a lot of different ways that you can get this show. First of all, you can get it over at majorspoilers.com. That's a great place to go. And in fact, we really appreciate it if you go over to majorspoilers.com and share your thoughts in the comments section on this posting page, or Zach calls it the podcast posting page.
The podcast posting page, because Zach loves alliteration.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why his initials are ZW, he doesn't get any alliteration in his life.
Unlike me.
Exactly.
So the other thing that we would like for you to do is subscribe via iTunes. And there's a couple of ways that you can subscribe via iTunes. One is just the Dueling Review standalone feed, which is only the Dueling Review feed. And that's fine if you want to do that. Or what I'd really like for you to do is subscribe to the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed. That's where you get all of the shows that we do on a weekly basis, including shows that are only available via that Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed. So there's a couple of shows that we do that you can only get through the master feed. You can only get Wayne's Comics, which comes out on Sundays through his feed, and you can only get the Magic Minute, which is a quick 1 minute rundown of Magic the Gathering, tactics, theories, deck building, all that stuff. You can only get those on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed. So we hope you subscribe there and you'll get everything. You'll get the Want List. You will get the Major Spoilers Podcast, Munchkin Land, Top 5, Dueling Reviews, Critical Hit, Wayne's Comics, Magic Minute, and I'm forgetting Zach on Film. That's 9. Did I say Top 5?
You did.
Well, that's 9 shows that you get on pretty much a weekly basis. And we bring it all to you for free. Actually, we bring it to you thanks in part to the Major Spoilers VIPs. This episode of Dueling Reviews brought to you by all the VIPs over at members.majorspoilers.com. Without their help, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Yay!
We wouldn't be able to go to events like Nerdtacular and present without people like our VIPs. And if you want to become one of those cool people that help us out for probably sometimes, I think it's like, let's just round it up to 10 episodes a week.
Yep.
That's like 40 episodes. Is that 40 episodes a month? Holy crap,
give or
man.
Take, yeah.
So let's round
sometimes
it down.
Let's round it down.
Let's round it down to let's round it down to 30.
We'll say 30 things a month. 30
things a month. That's, you know, if you were a $10 a month subscriber, $10 a month, that's what, 10 cents?
That's like, yeah. Well, let's see. If you have 30 things and you pay $10, that's 33 cents per thing.
33 cents. So if this episode is worth 33 cents, we'd encourage you to become a gold member. But maybe you only want to do bronze. So there's $2 a month there. Man,
there you go.
That's like Sixth Sense an episode?
Something like that.
What a bargain. Math Remember that hard. Old Eddie Murphy routine? That's a bargain. That's a bargain for me.
Hi, I'm Velvet Jones. Be a hoe in your own spare time. Yes.
No, it was the chopsticks. The chopsticks for, what was it, a dollar or something.
Oh, okay.
It was incredibly racist at the same time. So.
Oh, well, yes, it was the 80s.
That let happened. Us talk about The Wicked and the Divine, issue number 2, from Karen Gillan and, what's it, Dwayne McGelvey? I forget what his first.
Karen Gillan played Amy Pond. This is Kieran Gillan and Jamie McKelvey.
Jamie McKelvey, there we go.
Even though the cover of this issue does vaguely resemble Karen Gillan.
There you go. So this series, apparently once every 90 years, 12 gods come to Earth and they inhabit the bodies of 17-year-olds and they live for 2 years and then they die. And in that time, they somehow change the world with their talents.
They do something. The actual prophecy says they're loved, they're hated. In 2 years, they are all dead. So... That's a really weird high concept, and I didn't know if you did. You get a chance to look at issue one?
I did read issue one, and it's I mean, it's about as confusing as you need to read issue one in order to understand issue two, because the whole idea is Lucifer is there, and she is attacked, or her group is attacked by some Christian snipers, and she kills them by snapping her fingers. She gets hauled before the judge, and she's joking around with the judge and says, "Oh, judge, you want me to snap my fingers too?" And she does, not meaning to blow his head up, but somehow the judge's head blows up and she winds up in jail.
Somehow his head blows up. Yes.
And groupie. Go ahead.
The groupie girl whose name escapes me now. And I was going to say her name,
Laura.
Laura. She had been a follower, a big fan of apparently all of these gods.
Yes.
One of them, Amaterasu, is kind of like a rock star.
Well, they're all rock stars.
But a big chunk of last issue was like a concert.
Yes.
During which everybody in the audience passed out.
Yeah.
And Laura passed out last, and somehow it was some sort of rite of passage or some such. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
it's all very metaphysical stuff.
Yeah, they're all somehow related to music, because Laura spends some time toward the end of this issue talking about how she's been to all of their concerts, and she follows them. Some of them she really likes. Some of them, like Tara, don't call me Tara. She doesn't care for. And then because she really wants to help Lucifer, she gets tied up with this reporter who says, well, hey, we need to go and investigate and follow these other people. And so the only person she hasn't been to see is the Morrigan. And things don't go well at that concert, because someone has killed her and taken her place as the new king of the underground. And so I'm guessing this is like some kind of gothy music type.
The last page after that just has the word Baphomet, which to me, again, without context, I believe that the character that we just saw is Baphomet.
Okay.
But. I'm not sure. And it may be pronounced Baphomet. People are probably out there correcting me. If so, I've only actually read the word through Clive Barker. So, you know.
Well, there's a whole Wikipedia entry.
How's it pronounced?
Let's see. The A-E, like in Caesar.
So Baphomet?
And then it's the, what is the curlicue E? Not a schwa at the end.
But the curlicue E.
Yeah, it's kind of like a curse.
I think that's an A.
Oh, it says, as in bet. So it's Baphomet. Yeah, Baphomet.
So hooray for me.
Yeah. Let's see. Knights of the Templar were accused of worshiping and subsequently incorporated into disparate occult and mythical traditions. But yes, definitely a horn god. So yes, that is someone that we did see in the last panel.
A vaguely demonic presence as well.
So what's interesting about this is that this is the third outing that Kieran Gillan
and Jamie McKelvey
have done. And a lot of people were like, why is this not the third volume of Phonogram? And I've never read Phonogram. I don't think I have.
Mm-hmm.
What's it about?
Phonogram is about people and how people are weird and stuff.
So people are strange when you're a stranger?
Essentially, yeah. The main character of the volume that I read was a phonomancer.
Okay.
And he basically was out to save a goddess, actually, now that I think of it, which is a good question, you know. And I believe he had said in the Gillen had said in the last issue that this story had a little bit more
narrative,
not necessarily narrative, but it had stuff that was a little too wild to fit into what he considered to be the reality of the phonogram.
Right, 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 right. But he said that this story, The Wicked and the Divine, has more of a solid story, has a definite direction than a phonogram. So while people will see similarities between the two, Gillen believes that this is kind of a standalone kind of thing. And the interesting thing in the backup,
I would say in the
letters column of this one, Gillen goes in to talk about how Celebrity Skin from Hole kind of is the soundtrack for this book.
I hate that song.
Well, it's not just the song. It's the whole album.
The album. I haven't heard the album. I've only heard the single. But even so, yeah, you can kind of see that. And there is a definite, throughout this issue, there's a definite sort of expatriate 90s vibe, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked on the Major Spoilers podcast a few times, and Rodrigo nailed it on the head when he said that the 90s was kind of this whole new, we're going to rebuild everything and everything's going to be fresh and new and different. And oh, no, it's not you get to the end.
And they do kind of get to that with Lucifer and how, I think it was the last issue. Where the reporter is basically saying, hey, you just couldn't get out of your parents' David Bowie stage, and you're stuck like that. And that's why you're reliving that. So for someone who's in the, 20 years ago would be, right at the tail end of Bowie.
Yep.
There's definitely some of that influence in here. It's kind of spooky, too. I mean, there's this thing about
it is.
Are the gods evil? Are they good? They're kind of both. They're the wicked and the divine.
Right. Are they really gods? And I think that may be one of the hardest things to approach just as a reader jumping into this narrative is they're taking characters from different pieces. I mean, Lucifer clearly comes from, at least partly from Judeo-Christian literature.
Right, right, right.
You look at Baphomet goes back to an older pagan tradition. There's Baal.
Mm-hmm.
There's Amaterasu, who was the Japanese sun god, or goddess. I mean, they've got
basically all the religions represented. I mean, one of them is the Hindu,
right?
And I forget
the Morgan is the Morgan. Celtic, I believe.
Okay,
someone will tell me I'm wrong. Celtic or Gaelic, possibly.
Well, let's look it up.
But yeah, you get into that whole, there are multiple traditions here, and I think that could be problematic for people, especially if one of these is tangential to what you actually, believe. But
yeah.
I don't think that this is done in an offensive manner. So
no, I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think it's I think maybe people understand my take on religion right now is that I have a problem with a single dogma that people follow. So being able to see many religions represented and many of their deities or gods or whatever demons represented is fine by me. I think that's fine. Especially when they go against what most people know. And so when we see Lucifer is not there, twisting his tail and trying to, recruit tens of thousands of followers to be anti whatever. In this book, Lucifer is kind of just kind of a trickster.
Yeah, she's definitely a character who I think she kind of falls into that same and Gillen and McKelvey were responsible for the Young Avengers book, that thing that Loki did where he was just sort of the untrustworthy trickster, in spite of himself throughout that book.
Right.
Lucifer here, she is played as a character who is definitely wicked, but not necessarily evil.
Right.
And, moment in last issue where, when the judge's head explodes, she has this look of utter shock.
Yeah.
And I didn't fear. Do
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really bizarre to
me. I think, and again, I don't know where Gillen did his research, You know, he makes they make a good point in here that, oh, Laura is getting all of her knowledge from Wikipedia, but you know, Lucifer
on her broken iPhone.
You know, at one point when Lucifer does her transformation, and she's talking about how the moon, whatever her name is, I forgot, came in and transformed her. You see that when she appears that there are feathers scattered around her. And I like that that goes back to the concept of Lucifer was this fallen angel, someone who was very vain, someone who was took a lot of pride. And that is one of the reasons why Lucifer was cast out. And so I like that kind of sequence of the transformation here in this book. Yeah. I found very interesting. So I'm okay if they want to tweak with it and do those kinds of things, because it's not going to offend me. I find it very fascinating that these different gods, regardless of who they are or what religions they come from, mm-hmm. are working together to an extent.
Well, coexisting for sure. I'm not sure if they're working together so much
tied
somehow.
I don't know. Yeah, it is in this issue where Ball is on television and they're saying this is coming from the, he's saying that this was coming from whatever location that they were on. The Pantheon, Pantheon. you know, that they make that point that made me think that, oh, they are all, you know, even though they're doing their own thing, they have a central gathering headquarters for their group.
Which makes sense. I mean, if you figure that if they have these roles, if they have these archetypical roles, they probably have an archetypical Olympus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so did you like this issue as a story? I found it somewhat interesting, but you really have to read the first issue to know what's going on.
As a chapter? Yeah, I don't know that this is something that I would say is a story in and of itself. This is an example of a book that probably I would enjoy and will enjoy reading better in collected form. Issue one was really, really kind of intriguing for me.
I thought it was too short.
Well, what is it, 25 pages? 22
something
pages?
Like that. But I mean, you know, 6 or 7 pages was spent just in the concert where everybody's having orgasms and passing out.
Right, which again, I think is a pacing thing that if you're writing trade-wise, may actually have an issue. But this issue felt not necessarily rushed, but it felt like they're taking a long game. They're mm-hmm. taking a longer way to tell the tale.
Well, and
I feel
unlike,
like one issue isn't really a big enough sampling.
Unlike Photograph or Phonogram, this one isn't ongoing apparently.
Okay.
So they do have an end game, but it's a long game.
Well, and one hopes. I'd like to see this book go on. I liked this issue.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
And I liken it to that point where we're like 43 and we've been married forever. But there's a point where
some people understand that.
No. We're married to two different men who are, in fact, married to each other. No, I really liken it to that point where you meet a new person, and I say specifically a girl, but you're just kind of like, ooh, maybe she's cool and awesome and has all these secret moments, and you don't realize that, you know, she pees the bed or something stupid.
What?
At this point, we're in that new love phase where everything that they do is new and fresh and different and wild, and mm-hmm. I especially like the last page.
Yeah.
In a weird kind of off the cuff way. And I like the art, especially. The art is wonderful.
Yeah, the art is really great.
I would recommend this to weird people who are weird.
I don't know. I don't know if you have to be weird. I think if you just like, again, if you like a different tale, and this one is more on the mythical, mystical, religious side with mm-hmm. the background of music tied into all of this.
Right.
Then I think you're going to dig it. I don't think you have to be gothy to read this, you know, because there are some times where it tends to drop off into that area. I can't wait till we see Woden and his Valkyries, because apparently there's a lot of debauchery going on there,
which, you know, makes sense.
but the art is good. The story is intriguing. I want to find the mystery of what's going on and if these people actually do die in 2 years and what happens. Because the first issue was really kind of creepy where it was basically like, okay, see y'all later. And they all kill themselves. And then, you know, 90 years later, here they are again. So
yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
And it's a cyclical thing too, which is nice. There's a lot of interesting bits of the premise that feel, I don't want to say familiar, but feel like things that we've known and things that are somehow, you know, carried down through the stories and the things that are now coming together here. So it has a real nice kind of folk art kind of background feel to it. And yet it's really kind of glam and very, very slick in its presentation.
Yeah.
And every scene with Lucifer is just too funny.
Oh, yeah.
McKelvey nails that woman because she is so creepy and yet so much fun. You just kind of, there's a point where she's tied up and they've actually bound her fingers and she's making a remark about how she's wearing the world's only unerotic finger cuffs.
Yeah.
And how she wasn't even aware there was such a thing.
Yeah.
I just love those little bits and pieces. So.
Well, go pick it up. I'm giving it a thumbs up this week.
As do I. We need to disagree more on these things.
I would have to pick a book that would really disagree. I mean, there may be some things that we would disagree on. I mean, we had a fascinating conversation this week on the Major Spoilers podcast in regards to Thor Manifest. Now is a woman starting in October. That's a lot of people are maybe not so excited about, although a lot of controversy. They just announced that Sam Wilson, who's the Falcon, will be the new Captain America starting in November. And now we find also in November that Tony Stark will go, will give into his ego and return to his billionaire playboy roots of self-obsession and superficiality. Senior editor Mark Panicia says, what's fun about Superior Iron Man is we get to see Tony Stark in a different mode. He's very much like he was before Iron Man's origin, before Tony became a superhero, a narcissistic, selfish profiteer. And Tom Taylor is having a blast with his personality, giving us an Iron Man that is bound to ruffle some fans' feathers, but will secretly, I think, find to be a guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
I think it sounds interesting.
Superior Iron Man will also feature recent City by the Bay transplant Daredevil. It looks like for more details on Superior Iron Man, all new Captain America and Thor visit the Avengers Now hub on Marvel.com, where they've got interviews with Remender, Jason Aaron, and the writer for this series, Tom Taylor.
And I think that
recently,
you know,
from Injustice Gods Among Us.
Well, I think that with Marvel taking this new kind of, each writer does an arc that's kind of a volume unto itself, and then we launch with a new number one. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of good with that.
I'm okay,
too.
Because
it really worked. It worked for Superior Spider-Man. It wasn't a continuation of everything. So you don't go in with the people who worry that you have to have the previous 500 issues to understand it.
Yeah.
And we know that it's a finite arc. So
well,
if you're complaining, well, we do. Because it's Marvel. Marvel doesn't necessarily play. They play the arc game. And, you know, even if it's a 36-issue arc, we know that this is a story that they're going to tell. And when we get to the end, something else could happen.
Right.
I mean, Bucky did his run as Captain America a few years ago.
I think what's interesting, and I posed this question to all of our Twitter followers at Major Spoilers today. I was like, has Marvel suddenly, without really coming out and saying that they are replacing their kill a character every quarter with a reboot a character every quarter with something different policy? Because they're doing three of them in a row.
I think they quietly backed off that kill a character every quarter thing when they realized what a mess it was.
But they've done it.
I don't know. Have they done it every quarter? Yep. Who's the last character they killed?
Let's see. They did Charles Xavier, Spider-Man. They're doing Wolverine this quarter. Or next quarter, I'm sorry. They have been killing a character every quarter. And they've been doing that since they announced it, whatever it was, 2 years ago or whatever it was, with the death of Johnny Storm. And people may have forgotten about that policy, but if you follow it, there's a character that has died every quarter. But
that may be a good thing. If they've been doing it and people haven't been, you know, complaining and putting it together that it feels like a stunt or it feels like we're on a timetable.
Well, I mean, look at the ones that they've killed. They killed Johnny Storm. And so that right. gave them a chance to do FF and focus on that. Uh-huh. And it gave them a chance to bring in Mike Allred with She Thing or whatever that was with the was it She Thing?
Well, that was the second volume of FF.
Before
the first volume of FS was during the Hickman run.
Right, right. But I'm saying that that allowed you to bring in those other characters. You killed off Spider-Man, which is a pretty big deal. You're killing off Wolverine, which is a big deal. I'm pretty sure. Well, you know, they killed off Charles Xavier. And life went on. Right. So they can do it and they can tell some interesting characters and people are kind of used to it by now because they know the death of. Is not finite, right?
Well, yeah.
That there is going to be the return of the dead character.
Comic books, characters who die are likely to return.
Right. And there was somebody who posted on Twitter today or yesterday in regards to the Thor, now a woman with the title of Thor, whatever, who wakes up in a cold sweat and going, what if the character's so popular that they don't change her back? You know, this is one of those when you're changing, you know, we know that Bucky was Captain America when Captain America was dead. Sam Wilson, the Falcon, is stepping in to become Captain America because Steve Rogers is just now too old. His body can't physically deal with it anymore. And so he's stepping down. Yes, he could get a rejuvenation of super soldier serum alliteration.
He could.
But it could also be a, hey, this is the new status quo for Captain America because there is a logical reason beyond death that the characters have to evolve.
That makes sense.
So there is that, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen next? And I think certainly, as you mentioned earlier, with the death of Peter Parker in the Superior Spider-Man run, people were like, I'm not sure about this, but they were very open to it. And then by the end of the Superior Spider-Man run, people were like, oh, really? You're bringing Peter Parker back? I sure wish we could see more of the Superior Spider-Man.
We sure
Spider-Man.
Do want more of Dr. Spocktopus.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if we see that pop back up a few more times over the next 5 years.
Oh, almost certainly.
Like it's going to be some kind of repressed octopus in the back of the mind that keeps popping out.
Well, I saw something that they were doing, but I'm not sure what it was all about involving the world of 2099. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. That's all back, too.
What?
Yeah.
It's actually 2088 now, so it's marked down from 2099.
Yeah, because what's the character from Spider-Man 2099? Miguel
O'Hara.
Yeah. He's back as a Spider-Man. And they've got a big Spider-Man event coming up where it's like, Instead of multiversity, which is what DC's doing, it's like every Spider-Man that ever was is coming together to fight the blah, blah, blah. And oh, by the way, Spider-Man 99 is sticking around. So there you go.
Spider.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up next week. Now, next week is the San Diego Comic-Con, so I can't promise you what the schedule is going to be for Dueling Reviews. I think we should be able to get it. Although Wednesday night is preview night next week, and so that's when a lot of the stuff will kick off. But coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, Conan the Avenger number 4, ElfQuest Final Quest number 4.
ElfQuest Final Quest.
Yep. The Goon Occasion of Revenge number 1. It might be interesting to read. Oh, I know what we can review next week. Gru versus Conan number 1.
Heck yeah!
Gru versus Conan number 1 out next week, July 23rd, 2014.
Is it Evanier and Aragonés?
Yeah.
Sold, American.
We also have Star Wars Legacy 2, Star Wars Lucas Draft hardcover and trade paperback both come out, and Tomb Raider number 6 come out from Dark Horse Comics. From DC Comics, Aquaman 33, it's 33 week.
33
weeks of the new 52. I wonder if they go 52 weeks.
And then reboot.
Although, you know, with some of the things that are coming up,
yeah,
with things that are changing.
Forward.
Yeah, the jump forward and the multiversity and all of that stuff. It'd be interesting if they went ahead and ran it out to 52 issues and said, see, 52, waka waka. But
are obsessed with them in that 52.
Well,
man.
No, because DC is obsessed with 52. I mean, when they launched, when they did their 52, it was the company's biggest hit in decades, probably. People were all on board with that. Then they said, oh, let's try that again, and had another 52-week thing. And then when they launched the new 52, they launched it with 52 issues. And they've kept
it's 52 issues. Lucky number.
Yeah, they've kept the 52 issues thing going, canceling some titles and moving in others so that they have that 52 in the lineup.
52.
And now we're just over halfway to that 52 countdown, if that's what they actually do. With Aquaman, Batman and Robin, what else? Catwoman, Flash, Justice League Dark, which is, I'm surprised that one has gone as long as it has. Red Lanterns, another one has gone longer than I thought it would be. Superman, and let's see, Wonder Woman all hit their 33rd issue next week. You read Red Lanterns?
No.
It's got Supergirl as a Red Lantern now, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if she's in both books or if she's just in Supergirl as a Red Lantern.
Interesting.
I just don't know.
Okay. IDW Publishing has Godzilla Rulers of the Earth number 14, Kill Shakespeare Mask of Night number 2. Artist editions. Man, if you people have not, listeners, shouldn't call you people, you wonderful listeners.
Use guys
over there. If you likes the comic books, you must check out these things called the artist editions.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Mignola's Hellboy artist edition comes out next week from IDW Publishing. These are books that are the size of the original art, and they're not colored. So what you're really seeing is you're looking at the inked copy of the original art pages and scanned in with all the messy details and everything. When I did, I forget which one I got recently, but you would go through the book and you'd actually see where the whiteout was, where they were whiting out certain things to either redo it or put in the new lettering or whatever. So those are very expensive, but if you're a fan of Mike Mignola's artwork, and that Hellboy artist edition might find its way to my shelf at some point.
Mike Mignola.
Also out next week from IDW Publishing, Ragnarok number 1, not Ragnarok and Roll, which I think was from Boom Studios.
Ragnarok High School.
Star Trek City on the Edge of Forever number 2 comes out. Mm-hmm. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time number 2. There's actually a bunch of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle books that come out next week.
Yeah, I think it's the 30th anniversary.
Is next week the 30th anniversary? Or is it the week after?
Well, I want to say July of 2014 is the 30th anniversary.
It's interesting then that if they are wanting to tie into that, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja, or I'm sorry, TMNT movie comes out August 1st.
Turtles.
If they would have just backed it up a week or two.
May be August. They may be building up to the release of the movie and the big glamorous plan.
That'd be interesting. Well, they certainly haven't played it up, although I did finally see a trailer tonight for that movie.
Ooh, was it any good?
I don't know. It's actually the second. It's actually the second trailer I've seen for the TMNT.
Oh, that's so depressing.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, I know my son wants to go see it. I'm totally pissed at Paramount or whoever's releasing this, Universal or whoever.
Yeah.
Because of what they did to us last year at the Comic-Con. And people are like, well, Steven, you never cover TMNT. Well, they don't want us to cover it. I tried to report some stuff and they made me take it down. So don't be surprised that I'm not going to talk about them again.
Well, and it's understandable.
So I don't know. I may go see it if he really is dying to go see it just to have something to do. But I don't know. Turtles with the noses and the gold chains
thing, and we briefly touched on this during a recent recording of something, and it may not have aired yet, but Michael Bay, when he made Transformers, fixed the thing that he thought was wrong with Transformers,
which
was mass shifting.
Right.
And then everything else is just like, I fixed mass shifting, so you're welcome. And then he made this crap movie. I think that's what he's doing with the Turtles, is he felt like they were too fun and cartoony. So he made them badass, and now he's going to make some, you know, some jackwagon movie out of it. I don't know. I will say that nothing that they do can take away the wonder of Corey Feldman's performance in 1991. So
Yeah, and Megan Fox is in this movie, and I don't
know. Yeah, I hate Megan Fox.
Over at Marvel, all new Dupe number 4.
Dupe!
Speaking of Megan Fox, all new Dupe number Dupe. 4. All new Dupe. Invaders number 8, all new Ultimates number 5, Amazing Spider-Man number 4, Sin. Are they still Sin. Doing Sin? I thought we were over on Axis already.
No, Sin, original Sin number 6 is out this week. In fact, I'm probably reviewing it for the site.
Oh, well, you know what's out next week? Original Sin 5.2.
5.2 comes after 6?
And then Original Sins, with an S, number 4 comes out next week.
I give all.
Daredevil number 6, Sin. Deadpool 32, Sin. Deadpool Dracula's Gauntlet number 3. I think that's the physical copy of the Marvel Universe or Marvel First digital story that they have out.
It could be.
Deadpool versus X-Force number 2, Disney Kingdom Seekers of the Weird hardcover comes out.
Seekers of the Weird.
Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man number 28, CU or SYU, SYU. What is SYU?
Special Victims Unit.
Is that the Spider-Man year Yo Universe? Spider-Man Yo Universe.
Spider-Man Yo Universe.
That's what it must be. But I bet it's part of that. I think it's part of that big Spider-Man thing that's coming up.
Spider-Man year 11.
11. Okay. Storm number 1. 11. They're still doing Animan.
All new Marvel now. Yeah.
I think the thing that I think worries me about Marvel with, you know, they're just doing these big events after big events after big events. It's like a lot of their events are overlapping with one another.
Yes.
And I think that's confusing.
Yes.
That no other comment?
No, I agree with you. 157,000%.
Wolverine and the X-Men number 6 comes out, as does Wolverine Origin 2 hardcover.
How can there be Wolverine books when he's dead?
Oh, he's not dead yet. He's not dead yet.
He's only mostly dead.
I forget. I don't know if it's in the new.
Have fun storming the castle.
I don't know if it's in this week's Miss Marvel. But the new Miss Marvel, Wolverine's hanging around her, and she's like, so basically, now that you don't have your powers, you're just a short grump or a short angry dude who likes to punch people. And Wolverine's like, I knew I liked you for a reason, kid. So I don't know if that's in this week's Miss Marvel.
That is kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah. So go check that out if that is indeed the fact. Afterlife with Archie number 6 comes out. In fact, I think it's out digitally today. I just got an email from Comixology that said, hey, Afterlife with Archie. Oh, no, it comes. No. It said it's coming out next week. It was just letting me know that I was going to be charged for the comic next week. So that's the one where we find out what happens with Sabrina. She's on the cover in the whatever land that her aunts sent her to.
Yeah. And when does Sabrina's solo series launch?
I think that's coming up just around the corner, too. I didn't get an official thing from Archie on that. I wish they would have sent it to me, but I'm sure they'll figure out.
Cause I want to call Sabrina number 1. And now that we have like tons of regular writers throwing out tons of regular writery, I have to fight for the good
one.
We could always use
new writers. Some of them have flaked off.
Oh, heck yes. I'm not saying that.
Sabrina number 1 comes out October 8th, 2014. It is not going to have Francesco Francavilla art, which is okay, but it is written by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
It's Aguirre Sacasa.
Akira Sacasa. Akira?
Akira Kurosawa. No. Aguirre Sacasa.
That's what I said. Akira Sacasa.
Somewhere Rodrigo's temple just throbbed. But he's Roberto, like, wait.
Sacasa is the same person who's writing Afterlife with Archie. So you're going to get some of that kind of same theme going on there. And the artist looks good. The artist is Robert Hack and Jack Morelli. So you can go check that out, coming out October 8th. So you can go ahead. I've got the calendar already marked up there, Matthew, so you can go ahead and put that in the October calendar. And also in October, I haven't made a big announcement about this. This is why everybody should follow Major Spoilers Podcast Network, where they can get all the information. We're going to have Wonder Woman Week coming up in October, where we're going to have a week that celebrates Wonder Woman for being awesome. So that comes up in the, what did I say, second or third week in October.
I believe you said so.
So be looking for that at majorspoilers.com. Alien Legion Uncivil War number 2 comes out next week. Archer and Armstrong number 22. You know, that's getting a movie treatment. Valiant Entertainment announced that the other day.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it might be interesting. I think today they had found a writer or were going to announce a writer that's been attached to write the first draft.
Nice.
There's an Artemis Fowl graphic novel that comes out, Volume 4, Opal Deception. Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, Cave Woman Journey Number 2, Damsels in Excess Number 1, Diary of a Girl Next Door, Betty Hardcover, Doctor Who 10th Number 1. I think we got copies of that, and I sent them out to everybody to look at. They've got Doctor Who 10th Number 1 and Doctor Who 11th Number 1. Those come out from Titan Comics next week. And in fact, next week on July 23rd, Titan Comics is making it Doctor Who Day.
Doctor Who Day.
Doctor Who, Doctor Who. Fanboys versus Zombies gets a trade paperback, a fifth trade paperback in that series. Nice. Grimm's Fairy Tales got a bunch of books coming out next week. Godstorm, Hercules, Pain, Helsing number 4, Wonderland number 25. And of course, this week was
they just went through a big shakeup.
Yeah, they've got a new issue 100 hit this week.
Grim Fairy Tales 100. Yep.
And they've got a big event going on at the San Diego Comic-Con next week with some special signings and some special announcements and those kinds of things about what's going to be going on in the Grim Fairy Tale world.
Wa-dee-do-da. Nice.
Yeah. Life with Archie comic number 37. This is what happens after Archie gets shot. Archie was shot jumping in front of the bullet of his friend, I think Kevin, right? Kevin Keller?
Kevin is a senator in the future.
Yeah.
And Archie's last words were, "I've always loved you."
Yeah, but to Betty and Veronica, we're both standing
both
there.
Both Betty and Veronica were there, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really well-done issue. Paul Kupperberg did that. I always liked Kupperberg's art back in the day. So that was fun.
Monomyth number 1 comes out, Ordinary number 3, Special Exits graphic novel.
I had Monomyth in high school.
No, Monomyth is something different.
Knocked me out. Yeah, I got Mono from a myth.
Twilight Zone number 7 and Victorian Secret Midwinter special one-shot. I think that's the Victorian Secret Service, I think is what that is. Just some of the books all coming out next week. Right up to Comic-Con. So if you don't go to San Diego Comic-Con, that's okay. There's, you know, hundreds of thousands of you that are also not going to Comic-Con. But there are plenty of books to keep you company while the news floods in about new titles, new series, new creators. I guess the one thing that I don't like about the San Diego Comic-Con is you get in a lot of announcements, but no real information, right?
Yeah.
We do another show on Fridays. We come back this Friday. Called Finally Friday. It's a live call-in show where you listeners can call in and interact and share your thoughts about things that are going on during the week, and I imagine this week is going to be no exception. The last time I did the show a couple of weeks ago, I had 10 I don't want that one. I had 10 predictions for the San Diego Comic-Con, things that would happen at or before San Diego. And let me pull that up really quick. That's frozen. Some of them are pretty easy. They were pretty easy to nail, such as, they're going to show off footage from the upcoming Avengers movie, and all of the Avengers would be there on stage. Well, that's not hard because the guy who plays Hulk has basically said, yeah, we're wrapped, and we are going to all be in San Diego at that time.
That's
so
cool.
That's pretty easy to nail. That's not the right document. Why can't I find the right document here? Finally, Friday. There it is. So I had on here top 10. Number 10, Marvel will show off first look at Avengers Age of Ultron. All cast will be there. That's pretty much a given. Boom Studio announces Sleepy Hollow series based on the TV show. They've already come out and said, this is like 3 or 4 days after I made that prediction, that yes, they were coming out with a Sleepy Hollow miniseries based on the TV show. J.J. Abrams is number 8 was J.J. Abrams makes an appearance for Star Wars with Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. And I said I wasn't too sure about Harrison Ford because of his injury. They will be showing Star Wars Rebels, and Rian Johnson appears, and they will release an official synopsis for Episode 7. I'm pretty sure they are, and I'm pretty sure they've already come out. And this was before the San Diego Comic-Con schedules all came out, and I know that there's a Star Wars Rebels event. So There you go. Crisis on New 52 Infinite Earths announced. The multiverse will be sticking around for good following Grant Morrison's Multiversity.
Yay!
Number 6, Sin City 3 will be announced. Number 5, Doc Savage with Shane Black, the Shane Black movie. Doc Savage officially announced, and we get to meet the new actor playing Doc at the convention. And I put the thing on there that it might be Chris Hemsworth will play Doc Savage.
Ooh.
And I only put that in there because I know that the two of them had talked, and since he's already going to be there for the Avengers, and we know that someone's going to die, or maybe nobody knows that someone's going to die in the Avengers movie. Number 4, IDW Publishing would have some lock and key news, and sure enough, this week they announced that there's a writer attached to the movie. We're also going to meet Doctor Strange, not just the movie announcement, but we're going to meet the actor playing Doctor Strange.
And there will David Ogden Stiers.
And there will be a long discussion on the Netflix Daredevil series, which today they announced who would be playing another female character in the series. Then, of course, something else that happened almost within a day or two after I made the announcement. The CW will be showing the Flash premiere episode at the convention. And then nice. my number one prediction is meet the Justice League. We already know some of the cast members, but expect to see the entire Justice League unveiled on stage during the Warner Brothers Hall H panel.
And that's the one where Matt Damon is playing Aquaman.
Maybe.
Kevin Smith is the Martian Manhunter.
Or Jason Momoa, who knows? But those were my predictions.
Joey Lauren Adams is Robin.
But some of those things aren't hard to predict. But the thing is, here's the thing that I don't like about the San Diego Comic-Con. They're going to come up and they're going to say, oh, yes, by the way, there's an all new Squirrel Girl and a new creative team coming on Squirrel Girl. And the Squirrel Girl will be all new and all different. And you've never seen Squirrel Girl like this before. And her new series comes out in December. And then people will get up and say, so what can you tell us about Squirrel Girl? Well, we can't tell you anything. Just buy the book. And so there's a whole lot of San Diego Comic-Con has almost become, in many cases, in a lot of these panels, trailers for upcoming things with very little conversation taking place beyond the fact that, oh, we really can't talk about that. Next question, please. And then someone else comes up and goes, in regards to your Squirrel Girl announcement, is she still going to be called Squirrel Girl? Next question, please. And it's just, those kind of things. It's just like nothing comes from it. Like last year where they came out and said, OK, we're not officially announcing Batman versus Superman, but we do have a little bit of information about the next movie. And they come out and they read the chapter from The Dark Knight Returns, which everybody's like, oh, Batman versus Superman. And so then it becomes official after that. But they don't talk about anything. They don't say what the storyline is. They don't tell us anything to get us excited. You know, in 1977 and even in late 76, Lucasfilm was taking the original Star Wars to the San Diego Comic-Con and telling people about it, showing pictures from the movie, trying to get people hyped up so that they would go and tell their friends and get people to go see that movie when it opened. They don't do that anymore.
No.
They don't go in and talk in detail about anything. Yes, we'll get to go see the Avengers up on stage and we'll get to see the Age of Ultron trailer and the actors will come out. But they're not going to sit down and have a conversation.
Hello, I'm James Spader.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of spectacle. It's a lot of flash.
Yes.
And I wish companies...
And not a lot of Green Lantern.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of flash. And maybe we'll see a new Green Lantern. Who knows? I don't know. I still get
excited. David Ogden Stiers.
He's the Martian Manhunter. Even though I get somewhat bummed, it sounds like I'm poo-pooing on San Diego Comic-Con. It's still one of my favorite things that happens each year, and I get super excited about this. Last year, I ended up going on a family reunion kind of thing right in the middle of the convention. This year, I said, we're not going anywhere during the convention because we missed out on a lot of good things. So be sure you're headed over to MajorSpoilers.com all next week as we roll out our Comic-Con coverage. I think Zach has made a commitment to help get everything covered over the next weekend. So it should be good times.
Hi, I'm Zach. My name is Zach, and this is how I talk. Hi.
All right, so next week, Conan versus Conan O'Brien versus Groot.
Groot. Groot versus Conan O'Brien. Number one.
On Dueling Reviews. All right, everybody. Take care, and we will see you very soon. Or probably not see you, because it's really hard to see.
We'll hear you.
See through there. And it's really, since this is a one-way medium.
You'll hear us. It's
very, you will hear us real soon.
You'll hear us soon.
Oh, you know what, though? If you would, if you want us to hear you, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can send an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com.
Yes.
Or you can call our hotline number. Matthew, what's that number? Do you got it?
Yay! 785-727-1939. I've missed doing that. The Major Spoilers hotline.
Yep, definitely call in. And don't forget Finally Fridays as well. You can call in during that live show.
I'm going to try and take my lunch late and call in during Finally Friday.
Yeah, the 3:30 is what time it will kick off.
I'm going to try and take my second break early.
Okay, there you go. All right, everybody, take care. We will talk with you real soon.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.